Praise God. I want to welcome our first-time guest. Glad you're with us here today. Praise God. And everybody else, we love you. You're home folk. Everybody's home folk when you come. If you come here once, you're family, right? Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4 and 20. We're gonna take some lessons from Solomon today. Proverbs 4:20, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now, I want to just look at this, and there's four things really that I want to bring out of this. I don't normally kind of preach this way, but it's just the way that God led me to do this. And so the first thing we want to look at here is found here in verse 20, where God, He says, "My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear to my saying." Attend to my words. Listen, folks, without the word of God, we're in trouble. The Christian's guide to this life is the word of God. So when he says, "Incline thine ear to my word," what he's saying is this: make sure that you're getting my word in you. We need a daily input of the word. Come on. See, we're getting a daily input of the world. It's coming at us from all angles. But we need an input of the word into our life, because it doesn't matter what the world's doing. What matters is what the word tells us to do. Okay? And so he says, "Incline your ears to my words." Now, let's just drop over here to Psalm 119, and I want to show you something here. Psalm 119, if you want to back up there just a little bit. In verse 8, let's listen to what the psalmist says here. Psalm 119, verse 8. He says, "I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Look what he says. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Do you know that if you'll keep the word in your heart, then sin won't have any place there? Come on, I know we've been forgiven our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, but you see, that doesn't keep that old nature from trying to rear up. The thing that helps keep the old nature from flaring back up is having the word hid in your heart. When the enemy comes and tries to tempt you, remember what Jesus did? When the enemy came trying to tempt him, first thing he says, "It's written." It is written. What'd he do? He took the word and defeated the devil. Well, you know, he gave us the word to defeat the devil with too. Come on. See, if you take that word and hide it in your heart, then when the enemy comes around to tempt you, all you have to do is give him the word and you can defeat him. Amen. See, if a lot of folks got things all messed up, they think the devil's all powerful and that he can just run roughshod over you and do what he wants to in your life. He can't if you don't let him. Because Jesus defeated him and put him to an open shame, and then turned around and gave you dominion and power over him. How did he do that? Through his name. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, and him defeating Satan, he overcame death, hell, and the grave so that you and I could have life. And then he turned around to you and I and gave us his name to use and told us, "Behold, I give unto you all power over all power of the enemy." Right? So what he says is, you don't have to let the devil whip upon you. You've got my word and you've got my name to back it up. It's good news, see? Jesus didn't just leave us down here stranded. A lot of Christians act like we're just stranded down here. We just got to hold on, hold out till Jesus finally comes and delivers us. That's not what the Lord wants for you and I. He wants you and I to have an abundant life. He says it in John 10:10. That's why He came. The way we have an abundant life is by using the Word to live our lives. Because the Word's forever settled in heaven. It's true, right? God hastens to perform His Word. So when the psalmist here is telling us, when Solomon says this, when he says, you know, I want you to attend to my words, and then the psalmist turns around and says, I've hid the word in my heart, we can see that it's important to have that word. To make sure we have the word in our heart. Well, you know, if we start looking at Romans 10:17, you know, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So our faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Come on, the Word of God produces faith, right? Faith is how we receive everything in the Word of God. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It also tells us whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So it's so important for us to get the Word so that we can have faith to receive the promises of God. Stephanie's already said that all the promises are yes and amen to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a lot of folks look at themselves and try to and say, you know, things like, well, you know, I'm just not worthy of this and I'm not worthy of that. You weren't. Not when you were a sinner, but you're no longer a sinner. Come on, now you're a saint. You're a redeemed one of God. You're a child, son, and daughter of God, an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're a king, priest unto God. Heaven knows now you're worthy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can have everything the Word says we can have because the promises of God are yes. See, but if you don't know that Word, if you don't know what God wants you to have, how can you have something you don't know you can have? Come on, church. See, let me just kind of give you something natural here. Stephanie said, you know, she had to go back to work, and so Lillian's been staying at our house a whole lot. Well, there's one thing that Lillian knows at my house. Okay? She knows that anything she wants in that house is hers. Come on. She can go to the refrigerator. Now, she's a very polite little girl. Sometimes she'll say, can I have this or can I have that? And Mama is real quick to remind her, you don't got to ask here. If you sit and you want it, you can have it. Now, you all can say we're spoiling her if you want to. That's right. But you know what? That's exactly the way Daddy God is. He looks at us and says, it's all there in the Word. You can have it. Right? It's yours. He gave it to us. Right? See, when you start looking at it that way, if we as grandparents love our granddaughter that much, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? His kids. Come on now. Hallelujah. See, that's something to get excited about. God says, yes, you can have it. It belongs to you. But you're still going to have to use your faith. That everything's got to be received by faith now. So he says, you know, attend to my words. That's lesson number one that we need to learn here from Solomon, that we need to make sure that we're attending to the word. Now the next thing that he says, let me kind of just back up here and read it to you it'll remind you here. Then he goes on, of course, he says that those words are life and health to your flesh, right? We've already talked about that. Through faith you receive everything, your healing, your prosperity, your blessing. It's all done through faith. Then he comes in, and here's what he says. He says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. You know what? He's telling us to keep our heart right. Do you know that you can love God and not have a right heart? A lot of folks are that way right now. You can look around any church you want to today, and you'll find out there's a lot of seats empty because people who say they love God are not there because they didn't want to go. How many knows that's not a right heart? Come on, if you're a born-again child of God, your heart ought to be to go to church, to come and worship Him, the one that saved you, the one that died for you, the one that paid the price for you. You ought to want to come. Y'all want to be in His presence, being with your brothers and sisters. That's having the right kind of heart. So He says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. We got to look at our hearts and say, where are we with our heart? Now, let me just show you something over here in Acts chapter 8. We'll jump back here just a second. In Acts chapter 8, if you look over here, you find out there's a familiar story here that we know. And Acts 8, Philip goes down to Samaria and he's preaching there. And signs, wonders, miracles, things are happening. I mean, revivals breaking out, people getting saved, people believing. There's a sorcerer there named Simon. And Simon had always bewitched the people, you know, acting like he was some kind of big thing. But when Peter comes and the real power of God starts flowing, even Simon believes it. Because he sees the signs, the wonders, the miracles that are done. And he believes also, the Bible says, and is baptized. So he becomes a follower then of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible then tells us that after that the apostles heard that the people down there were getting born again, were believing the word, they went down to Samaria to lay hands on the people that they might receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And when they got down there, they began to lay hands on people. People began to get filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues, began to just manifestations of the Holy Spirit began to happen. And when Simon saw that by the laying on the hands of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, he looked at them and he said, offered them money for the gift to be able to lay hands on people. And Simon and Peter looks at him and he says, you know what? You thought the gift of God could be bought. And he tells him, he says, your heart is not right with God. You need to repent. Now look at that. He believed, he got baptized, but then still he didn't have his heart right. What was he doing? Well, he had used the power of the enemy to mesmerize the people like he was somebody. Now all of a sudden, he wants to try to buy the power of God like he can operate that so that he can show people he's got something. Can I tell you something, church? Anything that you have from God, you ought to thank God for it, but it's not you, it's God in you. Anything good you see around here, anything you see God do good here, He gets all the glory for it. It's not us, it's Him. And if you ever forget that in your life, then your heart's not right. Amen. Don't ever get to that place where you become an I person. I did this and I did. No, it's Him. He did it through us. All you and I need to be is a willing vessel for Him to work through. Amen. Yes, I'm pastor here. And yes, God gave me this vision. But at the same time, I couldn't have brought this about. God had to do it. Look around and see it. It's what God did. And God used you to do it. But you can't take credit for it either, because it was God in you. See, so we have to keep our hearts right toward God to make sure that He's getting the glory He really, really deserves. Amen? Come on, it's real easy for you to get off track in this world. Things that are going on, everything the enemy's offering, it's real easy for you to get off track. You see, you can even get to the place, if you're not careful, that maybe there's something in the Word you don't believe. See, not believing the Word is not having your heart right. Amen. I don't care if it's part of your doctrine. I don't care what it's part. If it's in the Word, then you need to believe it. Amen. Your heart will have to believe it, because if you want your heart right, it's got to line up with the Word of God. Right? Amen. Absolutely it will. In Hebrews chapter 3, you don't have to go there. It says this, chapter 3, 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice that. Now notice who he's talking to. Take heed, brethren. Right? Anybody else see that? Well, if you're part of the brethren, you're probably part of the family, right? And he says, you've got to be careful, because you can get an evil heart of unbelief. There are folks that don't believe certain parts of the Word of God, and they need to check their hearts. If I've got something in and I don't believe, I got to check my heart. Amen. Because if God said it, it's got to be truth. Right? If God's a liar at any point, then we don't know that He's not a liar in every point. But God's not a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Right? So we have to be careful that we don't get ourselves in that place to where we're not believing what the Word says, even though if it seems sometimes a little fantastic for us. A little hard for our little finite minds to conceive. But God is infinite. You've got to realize that. And His wisdom is infinite. And His power is infinite. And He wants us operating in it. So we got to do some adjusting there, because guarding how you think is part of keeping your heart right. Amen. Guarding how you think is part of keeping your heart right. Listen, thoughts lead to actions. Actions define who we are. Can I say that one more time? Thoughts lead to actions, and actions define who you are. You can sit and talk with your mouth all you want to, but when I see you act differently than what your mouth's talking, that's who you are. Come on, church. We see it happening. We see it happen all the time. We vote for people that their mouth's saying one thing, but when they get in, the actions are something else. Right? We associate ourselves with people sometimes that they say one thing and then do something else. Come on, right? Jesus said, don't say that I'm your Lord and don't do the things that I say. Right? He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You know what He was saying? Just shut up with your mouth, because I'm watching your actions. Right? We see that happen all the time. And actually, Jesus gives us the example of the two sons that the father told him to go out the field. And the one said, I will not. But later on repented and he went into the field and worked. And the other, he said, you know, I'll go. But he didn't go. So he said, which did the father's will? Of course, the one that said he wouldn't, but did. You see. So it's not about what they say, it's about what you do. So you have to be careful, because your actions will define you. When people watch you and see you, they will define you by the things you do. Amen. And you and I are supposed to be an example of a believer in this world. Why? Because we're the children of God. We represent God. Now, Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's talking about men. He's talking about us. The way we think, that's how we are. If you see yourselves a nobody, a nothing, never will be anything, that's how you'll be. Come on now. But if you see yourself the way God sees you, that's who you'll be. King and a priest. An anointed one. A destroyer of yokes and burdens. Come on now. The anointing does that, and you're an anointed person. You look at your neighbor and say, you're anointed of God, whether you believe it or not. You are. You're anointed of God. Praise God for that. That's how much God loves you. He put an anointing upon you. So you have to start thinking that way and seeing yourself that way and quit thinking about the way the world thinks. I don't care how you were raised. I was watching a little show, just a little bit of it, and I never got to watch it all. But I watched it, and it was about a lady that had come out of a fact that her dad had died, her mom had died, and she had just kind of, things had been rough for her in her childhood. She got hooked up with the wrong people. The house she was living in, she wasn't married to the guy, and he was beating her up and wanted her to sell her body for money, and she was a waitress. And all this was going on, and he actually chased her down, was trying to beat her up again. She ended up busting into a Marine station there, and they got to talking to her and stuff, and the guy asked her, he said, tell me about your life. And she began to talk about how she saw herself as a nobody, as a nothing. But she could excel. She was very intelligent, all these things. And he said, you've got to quit seeing who you were and see who you really are. And see, that's what you got to do. Don't matter what your childhood was. It don't matter what you've been through. That's in the past. It came to pass. Don't look back. Jesus said, no man taking hold of the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. You don't need to look back. You need to look forward because you're in a new kingdom now. You're in a new family now. You're highly honored now. Come on. Live this point on. Let the past go. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know about my past. It don't matter. Let it be in the past. It don't matter how bad you were. And it don't matter how good you were. What matters is what you'll be from this point moving forward. How you'll see yourself. What you'll think about yourself. Because the Word of God tells you how you ought to think about yourself. And the things that you ought to think on. Let me show you here in the Word what it says. This is what believers ought to think on. Okay? In Philippians, Paul writes and he says, Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest." Let me just stop a second. Whatsoever things are true, no matter what the devil whispers in your ear, it's a lie. Because he's a liar and the father of lies. So you believe what's true. What's true? What the Word says about you, because the Word's true. Right? So he goes on and he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, if you're thinking on those things, there's no place for the devil to come in and cause you to try to think about regrets, pains, hurts, that kind. You got to go past that. And here's the thing you've got to say, well, I just can't get over that. Well, you've got to get over that. If the Lord Jesus Christ could get over the cross for you and I, you surely ought to be able to get over what you've been through for Him. Amen. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm just saying it's a process. But if you'll continue to think on the things of God, keeping your heart right with God, I promise you, after time passes a while, it won't be long before you won't even be thinking about that. You'll only be thinking about the things God wants you to think about and how blessed you really are. So, that's number two. Keep your heart right. Attend to the Word. Keep your heart right. What's the third one? Well, let's jump real back. Let me jump back and I want to read it right out to you. He says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee." In other words, watch your mouth. Attend to the Word, right? Keep your heart right. Watch your mouth. Nothing worse than somebody that says they're a child of God spewing nastiness out of their mouth. Amen. Nothing worse. Because immediately it begins to show what's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to be careful. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 says this, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We discussed this so many times, but you have to watch your mouth. It's not always cussing and all that junk, but it's also the negative speech that comes out of your mouth. You're a child of light now. You're a child of life now, right? Amen. The life of Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So what you speak ought to be life. Toby Mac's got a song called Speak Life. I like it. We ought to be speaking out life out of our mouth and not death. Now the world's trained us to speak death, right? We've said it so many times. Scared to death, starved to death, freezing to death, something's killing me. Right? It's just part of the vocabulary that we had in the world. But you see, you've got to watch your mouth and make sure, I'm not speaking that on me, because the Word of God declares, I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So I'm not going to speak I'm freezing to death. I may be cold, but I'm not freezing to death. Right? I might be hot, but I'm not burning up. I might be hungry, but I'm not starving to death. My back could be hurting, but it's not killing me. Right? You see what I'm saying? We've got to guard our mouth and watch, because this mouth of ours produces things. Come on, if words produce faith, that faith can either go for the positive, for life, or that faith can go for death. Come on. See, we have to, and it's all about changing the way you think as you speak. Sometimes you just got to catch yourself. Come on, you got to. I've told you all this before, Pastor Rhett and I. We put a marker on each other. You hear me say something negative, you hear me say something wrong, you tell me, you correct me, and I'll do the same for you. And we've corrected each other many times. One of, you know, in your, see what happens in your frustration, you'll say things. Anybody ever besides me ever said anything in frustration? Right? You know, and I'll catch myself, you know, believe it or not, I'm not perfect. I know that's a shock to you all, but I mess up sometimes. I can be doing something and I'll be working and doing something and get the look and I see I did it wrong. And if I've caught myself saying, "You dummy," because I'm going to have to redo, you know, but I caught it. But then I'd say, "You dummy." And then I just hear the Holy Spirit say, "Are you a dummy?" And I have to back up real quick and say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I repent of that. I'm a very smart man. I just made a mistake." See, and that's, you have to be careful, because little things like it can just slip up on you. You say, well, I don't know that means anything. It means a lot. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The accumulation of little things that you're bringing into your life through your mouth. You have to watch your mouth. Don't have a froward mouth about things, okay? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Matter of fact, go with me to James over here. James chapter 3 has quite a bit to say about our tongue. Let's just read it down here and then we'll see what he says about it. He said, "My brothers," verse 1, James chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Look at verse 5. "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so to be." Now look at that. He says, you know, this mouth of ours, if we're not careful, it'll be like a two-edged sword. We'll bless somebody or bless God and then curse somebody else. Come on. You see, it happens a lot. You see folks, you know, on social media get into it. On social media, of all places. It just blows my mind when people start fighting on social media. I'm like, why would you air out stuff on social media for the world to see? But then the next thing you know, they've got little praying hands. They're praying for you. Right? Well, see, that's the tongue blessing and cursing at the same time. It's social media ways. We have to be careful that, you know, we're not coming to church and praying and blessing God and then going somewhere and cussing somebody out of pieces. Losing our temper and doing that. There have been things that I've had to just bite my tongue over. Anybody ever have to do that? somebody saying things and you just know it's not so, and you want to give them what for. You want to tell them what you know, and you just bite your tongue and smile at them. Amen. You see, that's what we have to do in order to tame that tongue. Sometimes you just got to bite it. You have to be careful, because notice that it sets the world on fire. Your tongue does. Once you release those words, there ain't no way to take them back. Now, you can apologize, you can beg, and you can plead, but it's still out there. Right? You have to be careful about that. There's things that go on in this world. I've given advice before on people, maybe a marital relationship's going wrong. And people, well, of course, as a pastor, a lot of times people will come and they'll be telling me the story. What do you think about that? You see, I got to be real careful. Because it don't matter what I think about that. If I tell them all I think about that and they decide to get together, you know what I'm saying? They get back together and now all of a sudden he says, "Pastor said this about you." Now I might have told the truth all the way, but it won't matter. That's going to be in their head. Oh, come on. I know in-laws that have said, you know, maybe their sons, daughters are having some problems, and they're, you know, of course they're taking up for their child, and they'll say things like, "Well, she wouldn't no good no way. You didn't need to have her anyway." And then they get back together. And there it is. It's been aired. The words are out there. And no matter what you do, your child will never forget what you said and how you feel about their spouse. So sometimes it's better just to bite the tongue. Say, just pray, just seek God, let God handle this thing, put it over into His hands and just believe God. Amen. That's protection right there. That's bridling your tongue to watch about what you're doing. So He says, watch your mouth. Be careful what you're saying with that mouth. Now, thank God that here in Ephesians chapter 5, He says, God says, you know, we need to be followers of God. Now, I'm going to move on because I want to hurry. So we're doing, attend your words, keep your heart right, watch your mouth, and the last one I want to get into, and I'll turn back and just read this, the rest of this to you. He says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Watch your eyes. Watch your eyes. Keep your eyes looking forward. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eyes is part of that. You are going to see things. If you've got eyes and you've got sight, you're going to see things. And some things that you see might be things that you really didn't need to see, but you're going to see things. Here's the thing. Don't make an instant replay out of it. Don't make a movie out of it in your mind. You may see something. If you're a healthy heterosexual man, if you see a pretty woman, you know she's a pretty woman. Same thing with you ladies. When you see a handsome man, you know he's a handsome man. Right? You see that. But you see, as long as that don't become a replay and you don't... Jesus said that if you... For a man, anyway, but it applies to both. He said, if you look at a woman to lust after her in your heart, that you've already committed adultery. Now, see, the lust after her in her heart means that you didn't just see her, you began to focus on her. And the same way with him. In other words, it's kind of like the thing where we talk about thoughts. You know, where Dad Hagen always said you couldn't keep birds from flying over your head, but you didn't have to let them make a nest in your hair. It's the same way with things that you see. You may see something, and the thought may even shoot through your mind. But at the same time, you have to cast down imaginations and bring every thought into the captivity of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see. So you can't help what you see sometimes, but you don't have to dwell on that. Can somebody give me an amen? Some of y'all acting awful holy out there now. You know, it's like, you know, what was it? Mr. Potato Head when he went to the beach. Y'all remember him? How many of you remember that movie? Had Mr. Potato Head? Was it Toy Story or one of the Toy Stories or what? But anyway, he ends up on the beach and he's going down through there and there's all the bikinis and stuff. He's going, I'm a marriage bud. I'm a marriage bud. I'm a marriage bud. I'm a marriage bud. Right? Come on. I tell you, keep your eyes straight on. Right? Amen. So you've got to watch your eyes. See, Proverbs 4:25 says this in the Message Bible there. It says, keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. That's good, isn't it? Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore the sideshow distractions. See, that's how you get off track. Is when you start paying attention to the side. Anybody ever about wrecked looking off the side of the road? Come on, you're looking, trying to see something, you drive. We ran a red light one time coming back from World Harvest Church up in Columbus, Ohio. It was in the middle of the night, and we got a craving for Krispy Kreme. And I was driving, and we're coming down through there, and we were somewhere around Waverly, Ohio, and we're coming down through there, and all of a sudden this horn blows, and we're buzzing through a red light. We ran a red light, and I was looking for Krispy Kreme. I never saw no red light. Now later on, it was confirmed because I got a letter in the mail with a picture of the van on the side of it and a picture of the license plate saying, you ran a red light. You owe a fine. You know what that was? A sideshow distraction. You know, Krispy Kreme. Ran a red light. We could have got killed. Could have got hit. Anything could, because I got distracted. I was driving. I should have been watching, letting everybody else look for Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme kind of got me going there, you know. And see, we have to be careful that we're looking straight on because we're driving this life. And we got to be careful of little things that we like that might sidetrack us or cause a distraction to give the enemy a chance to wreck us. Have to be careful about that, church. You have to watch about what your eyes are seeing and what you're looking at. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, this is the one I just quoted a few minutes ago, that you look on a woman to lust after in your heart. Now, I want to give you one more scripture here, and we'll close out with this thing. Go with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. Now, here what happened was, Lot was traveling with Abraham, and the Lord was blessing them so much that both of them were acquiring more servants, more animals, and they were all getting together. And they, when they go out for the fields to for their animals to eat, the two different servants were fighting because, you know, this one wanted the graze here and this. And so Lot and Abraham got together and said, now listen, there's too many of us. We've grown to be too many. You choose. Abraham looks at Lot and says, you choose which direction you want to go in, and I'll go the other direction so that there's no schism between us and our men. And so the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw the green pastures and in a particular direction. And he says, I'll go this way and take my people that way. So the Bible says that he went that way. And the next thing it tells us then, it says, and Lot pitched his tents towards Sodom. See, here's what I'm trying to tell you. He put his tents facing Sodom. He's out here grazing, but that's that city Sodom, and he's pitched his tent toward it. I'm going to tell you this, and you've got to be careful with it, but whatever you set your eyes to, you'll gradually gravitate to it. Whatever you're looking at, you'll gravitate toward that. Because we read on and we find out when Abram starts looking, God's getting ready to destroy Sodom, he finds out Lot's in Sodom. What happened? Well, he set his tent that way and he ended up gravitating, living in the city. Well, he wasn't a city boy. He was a rancher. He was a farm boy. He was a countryman. But he ended up in that sinful city. Because he set his tents that way. He set his eyes that way. He saw that city. And you have to be careful that you don't get your eyes on something you know you ain't supposed to be around. Or get your eyes on something you know you're not supposed to have. Get your eyes on something you know you're not supposed to do. See, this is some good lessons here that Solomon's teaching us. But, you know, he was the wisest man that ever lived. So he ought to know something, you know. But we ought to be able to read and learn from him. So, you know, he tells us, let your eyes look straight on. Don't be looking to the left or the right. Don't let your feet turn to the left or right. Keep moving forward. James says in James 13:15, he says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Now get this. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Notice that it says God's not tempting everybody. You hear people say, well, I believe God put that woman in front of me to tempt me. No, he didn't. It was your own lust that drawed you that way. Come on now. See, you're real quiet on me now. You end up in places a lot of times because that's what you wanted to do. For whatever reason, you just lost it, or you messed up. But that happens. But he says, don't say it was God that did that. Every man gets tempted of his own lust. Now, thank God that Paul knew how to avoid temptation, because here's what he said in Philippians chapter 3. He says, and I'm going to give this to you in the message. Philippians 3:13. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, that those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. See, we need to listen to these instructions from Solomon and realize that the Lord wants us to do exactly what Solomon's saying, making sure that we're tending to that word all the time, and that'll keep us on the right track. Amen? Will you all stand to your feet with me? Thank God for the Word of God that's our schoolmaster.